Hello and welcome to Adulting with Ebony, the podcast where each week I explore what it means to be a kick-ass and kind adult in our modern world. Expect strong language and viewpoints, as no topic is out of bounds here. My guests and I will navigate the complete spectrum from wildness to responsibility with compassion and curiosity rather than expectation. I'm Ebony Allard and I'm a misfit turned maven, an author, a coach and your host for Adulting with Ebony. Come on then, let's do this. Hello, welcome to this week's episode. Today I'm joined by Amy Smith, who is a certified confidence coach, a masterful speaker, and personal empowerment expert. She's founder of thejoyjunkie.com. Amy uses her roles as coach, writer, podcaster, and speaker to move individuals to a place of radical personal empowerment and self-love. With a cute focus on helping people find their voice, she's highly sought after for her uncommon style of irreverence, wisdom, and humour. I'm also, I have a secret girl crush on Amy, so I'm really excited that you're here.
Likewise. I'm so pumped to be here. It's always awesome to find somebody else who's equally as exuberant and loves all the makeup and then the F-bombs and the, you know, so kindred spirits for sure.
Yay. So on that basis, what does adulting mean to you? Like when you heard the term or when you saw like the podcast and what we were about, like what does it mean?
The first thing that I thought of was this idea of radical personal responsibility. And I feel like it comes down to blame, right? So we have this moment like throughout our adolescence where we can blame. And then we go maybe to university or our collegiate experience and we think, oh, you know, I'm still in school, so I don't have to really be an adult. And then we find ourselves kind of in our 30s and 40s and going, holy shit, I can't blame my parents anymore. I can't just blame the economy anymore. I have to be responsible, not just for my financial well-being or, you know, the logistics of my home, but then also how we engage in relationship, that you can't just behave inside a intimate partnership the way you did when you were in seventh grade. However, a lot of that does carry on, you know? And that was the first thing that really came to me, was this idea that the more we stand in blame or the more we stand in judgment of others, the less empowered we are, the less we think that we truly have a say and can be a governor over our own life. So I'm still figuring some of that stuff out with like wills and power of attorney and all that stuff, where I'm like, why the fuck don't they teach you this in school? Why do we learn parallelograms? That's a mess. And but we teach me how to do my taxes, right? So anyway, I think
you know
that...
You know what, though? Like, I genuinely believe there's a reason for that. Like, I genuinely believe that the old patriarchal system wants to keep us slightly infant... I can't even say the word.
Yeah.
Do you know what I'm trying to say?
Infantile? Is that the
word? Yes. Or infantized. Keep us from having that personal empowerment so that we need them. Right? So that we need bankers, so that we need, you know, lawyers, so that we need like all of the old school professions that were highly thought of and positions of authority. Like if we had personal empowerment, if we had personal sovereignty, if we could take care of those things for ourselves, so we wouldn't have to go and pay like big money to those people, we would just be like, oh, I'm going to go take care of this now. And I believe that that's changing. I believe that the world is changing and that we are entering an age of radical responsibility. And for me, the big thing, like when you said it, it's like, and definitely when people are in this transition into adulting, definitely when they start it, is, oh, I have to adult, right? For me, I've reached a place personally of like, I get to adult. I get to take responsibility. I get to show up fully. I get to do all of these things. And don't get me wrong, there are some days where I'm like, I fucking don't want to read my bank statements and look out where I'm at. Like, it's still not fun. Having done it is like the sensation of having adulted and like having got my shit together is really empowering.
Well, and I couldn't agree more. And I was a very precocious child who really hated being young, and I hated not being taken seriously. So I kind of jumped into it. I wasn't as resistant. You know, I got married when I was 20. I, you know, been with my husband for 22 years. I was ready, you know, and I think it, I just had more of a shock as to how much there is to do. But, you know, still we're in this process of buying our second home and it still feels like, are we allowed to do this? Are we of age, you know? And so it's just, it's an interesting experience where your brain doesn't quite register that you're not 18 anymore. And everything else in your life is going, no, you need to pay attention and you need to do the work. And that's largely what I do in my work is getting people to understand how that shows up in their interpersonal relationships, not just being able to blame mom and dad or blaming the ex or, you know, things like that. So, yeah.
I really like this. I really like the idea because I see so many people playing this blame game, right? Like really addicted to where can I attribute blame? And really what they're saying is where can I dump the responsibility of this?
That's right. That's right. Well, so here's the thing about blame is if you feel really righteous, it feels really good. It is our natural instinct to go that direction. We don't have the instinct to go, what's my role in the matter? What could I have done better? Anger is our fastest, most easy to tap into emotion, right? So we go, ooh, let me just be pissed at the other political party. Let me just be pissed at mom and dad. Let me be pissed at my boss because we feel righteous and indignant about it. But what we don't realize is that when we are so acutely attached to that blame, we are also attached to victimhood because the only way that we can actually be happy is if that person magically changes. If mom and dad just magically undid your childhood, if your ex just magically wasn't a douchebag, and so we just go, all your power is put in that other person and we stay there. So we render ourselves a victim and we don't even realize we're doing it, you know?
Yeah, I had a really interesting situation. So when we came back from Bali, or we were on the way back from Bali, we spent 3 weeks, and the last we stayed in a home with some friends of mine. So we had this place for most of it and it was really good value. And I really wanted the swanky end of holiday like thing. So we did 2 days in a really nice hotel. And when we arrived, and I went with my best friend and my goddaughter, who's 3. And when we arrived at the hotel, it was one of those beautiful places in Ubud where the hotel is like carved into the rock. So it's on this big gorge, which means there's a gazillion steps down to the rooms. And they said to us, can we take your, so we took the car seat because we needed it to get to the airport, right? So they put the car seat like in some room for us so we didn't have to carry it down shitloads of stairs. And then on the day that we left, we really wanted to squeeze in 1.5 hour massages each. So we did that, which meant that we ran late for the airport pickup. And when we got back to the hotel, they'd loaded our car with all of our bags, which was so lovely of them. And the driver said, can you check just to make sure we've got all your luggage? And we both checked and we're like, yes, let's go. Life's amazing. I'm in a massage zone. And halfway to the airport, I was like, we had a car seat.
Oh no.
And my friend was like, yes, did you not pack it? And so that instant thing that we do, right, of like, who can I blame for this? Like, yes. A shitty circumstance, an expensive car seat that sees the kid till they're 12, isn't in the car. And we're on the way to the airport and we're kind of late for to get there on time anyway. And the traffic is ridiculous. And so we're up against it. We're in this place of like, what do you do? And I found it really fascinating how, as two people who are doing the work, spend a lot of time really like in a place of personal empowerment, how easy it was. Like, I just noticed myself being like, it's your child, your car seat, not like not my responsibility. And it's right. And ultimately, that's not going to help the situation. Does it help? No, it pulls a load of anger and resentment. And really what's going on is this defensiveness, because I don't want her to blame me, right? Because if somebody's to blame, like if I've decided someone's to blame, then we're going to toss that backwards and forwards for an hour rather than going, let's just not even have the blame conversation. What can we do right now? Like, what is a good outcome with the information that we've got, with the resources that we have available? What would be a good outcome?
Right. Right. And, you know, I think there's various scales of this too, you know, because I do think there are times when somebody really does need to own their shit and they do need to clean something up. And I do think that, you know, there's situations like this that we can, okay, it's not that serious. We can move beyond this. We can get, you know, and then there's other situations where somebody cheated on you or you got fired or there's a much bigger impact to your life. And I was just talking about this with some of my students about this notion of forgiveness and forgiving people who have done you wrong.
Yeah.
And how it's not at all saying that that deed was okay or that it was acceptable, or even with self-forgiveness, you would do that thing again. You're not saying that at all. You're just saying, I choose not to suffer over this any longer. And that's exactly what you're saying is, you know, we have this choice of, do we fight for who's right? And the problem with fighting for who's right is everyone thinks they're right. So it never goes anywhere. Or do we become proactive and productive and look at what can we actually do with this? And the same is true if you're up against a situation where you have chronic blame over something really egregious from your childhood or a business partnership that went wrong, where you do feel like they really behaved poorly. It's not that you aren't justified in feeling the anger. It's that if you hold on to the anger, you're the one suffering.
Well, so we have, there is energy involved and we have like an amount of energy or an amount of life force. And right now we're directing it in the direction of the other person with a like, you must fix this, it must change. It's like, that's impossible, dude.
Yeah, like, up against a brick wall.
Yeah, like why are you smacking your head against a thing that is impossible? Let's just choose to divert this energy somewhere else, right? Like what if I took the amount of energy that I feel in anger or in blame or in and took that in forgiveness or took that in self-love or took that in like proactive creation in some other way? Like what is it that I want to create instead? That would be far more powerful, right?
Absolutely. Well, and you know, I think it really depends on where you are and how acute your pain is. Mm-hmm. Because I do think that there are times when an expulsion of anger or upset can be a clearing.
Absolutely. So, yeah, 100% agree.
But what I'm talking about here is when it becomes chronic, when you are a chronic complainer, and you're always bitching about your ex or you're always bitching about your boss. Now you are locked into victimhood. We're not dealing with the potency of just losing your job and needing to bawl your eyes out or journal a letter of hate towards your boss. Like, you know, that's a purging, I think. And
also that's appropriate, right? Like it's an appropriate feeling for a situation. And when it becomes like what I call how you are lifing, right? Like, because we have patterns of behavior. Like, how are you lifing? Are you lifing in a way that is always it's someone else's fault?
Right.
You might want to look at that.
Yes, you need to look at that. Or we will blame you. No. Yeah, because I think when you create the correlation of chronic victim, nobody wants that. Nobody wants that identity. We want to be survivors. We want to be powerful. But if you take just an inventory over your day in and day out life, what are the things that you chronically complain about that you are not taking action on? That is you identifying yourself over and over again as a victim. So I have sort of this rule that I operate under, which is I am not willing to chronically complain about anything that I'm not taking some assertive action on. And for most people, what that is using their voice, is speaking up, is saying something to another human. So it's usually that you're upset with your mom, but your partner is the one who gets the earful, or you're upset about your partner and it's your therapist who gets the earful. So we're really good about expressing ourselves, just not to the right person. And that is a faster avenue to actually rectifying the situation that you're frustrated with, mm-hmm. is just having those difficult conversations. But again, like we were talking about with how we're raised, we're just not taught to do that. We're taught to avoid and to sweep things under the rug and to not open up a can of worms and don't rock the boat. I mean, at least in the States, we have all these crazy words for like, shut the fuck up and just make everybody else happy. And I think you learning those skills and understanding like, okay, we're all really afraid of confrontation for the most part. Some people like it, but a majority of us aren't like, yay, let's have tough conversations. Yay, I can't wait to have this awkward, vulnerable situation arise. But those, that is adulting. That's what I mean about radical personal responsibility, is saying I am uncomfortable with this situation that's happening, or I'm upset about what happened with this individual, and I need to get that out of my system.
Yeah, and for me, one of the other parts that goes with that around naturally adulting is expressing it before you become a pressure cooker, like expressing it before you explode, and it's really messy, and it's like half at yourself, half like it's like someone's on the other person, someone's on you, like it's all over the place.
That's right. Right.
Rather than just being like, hey, what's going on here? A boundary was trodden on. Who trod on that boundary? Did I not assert it? Did someone step on it? Like with curiosity, right? Rather than with an attitude of expectation or an attitude of blame, can we go, hey, there is something going on here that doesn't feel good. What is it? Right.
That's right. Well, and one of the things that I think can be really helpful in those sorts of situations is to really acknowledge where you're at. So for example, I had a situation with a student who is having a bachelorette party for her best friend. And so this student of mine has just done everything for the bachelorette party, for the bridal shower, has just really thrown herself into it. There was a situation that happened where she felt like the bride was a little inconsiderate of some of the stuff that she had planned. And she's like, am I making a big deal of this? I don't know. Should I just sweep it under the rug? And I'm like, no, because then you become the pressure cooker, because what we do is we start to gather evidence to support our story of this person let me down. Oh, there's another example of it. There's another example of it, instead of just squashing it in the moment. So there's ways to bring it up without saying, I'm really bothered by your behavior. And one of the things you can do is just claim how uncomfortable it is for you, you know, to say something like, you know, I really want to bring something up to you. And I'll be honest, I've been stressing out because the last thing I want you to think is that I don't love you to pieces. And I've just been completely nervous because I want to get this right. Saying something like that as you enter into a conversation is so much more disarming than you do this, you do that. When you do this, it makes me feel. So, which I think can make the other person kind of armor up a little bit more. So entering in a way that's softer, saying, I seriously doubt it was your intention to, you know, ruffle my feathers, or, you know, using language that's a little bit lighter. I feel a little unsettled saying things like that. I would love to share with you sort of how I interpreted everything on my end. And I would love to just get your opinion on what was really happening. Something I say all the time to my friends is I am making up a bunch of stories over here. And I really, if the situation was reversed, I'd want you to be able to clear the air. You know, I would want to be able to say, hey, that's not what I meant. So there's a lot of vernacular like that I think we can use that we're just not taught, you know? Mm-hmm. And so we usually have two modes of operation. We either run away and we just never address it, or we ghost people, or we become extremely combative and overly assertive, overly aggressive, and create a lot of damage to our relationships.
Yeah, and I think it's in my life, like one of the things I've really done with my close friends is invite it and also get to know them and know their personality styles, know their communication styles, know their inner critic as well as I know mine, right? So I can say to my best friend, hey, I know that what I'm about to say is probably going to send you into the spiral of, oh my God, I'm stupid and wrong. And I want you to know that first up, you're not stupid or wrong. This is totally my stuff. And is it okay with you if I share it and air it? And they're like, yeah. What's going on?
Right.
Like, okay, well, so when this thing happened between us the other day, it's really pushing my buttons in some way, and like I'm not entirely sure what it is, but I'd really like, can you help me work through it? And then already, like, as someone who likes to help me, they're like, yeah, tell me what happened.
Right. Yeah. Well, I mean you would want the same in return, right?
Absolutely. But
just a couple little communication hacks around that is to say something like, I just want to let you know kind of how it landed over here, or I want to tell you how I interpreted that situation, or what I made that mean, or the story that I created over here. So that way, again, you're taking that responsibility and saying, I want to share this with you. Tell me if I'm way off. Tell me if I'm, you know, making something up. And if not, you know, I'd really love for us to rectify this in some way. Mm-hmm. One of the things that I do in all my relationships with my besties, my business partners, my husband, is to constantly ask, which we never do, how can I be amazing for you? How can I be awesome for you? You know, a lot of times, especially in our interpersonal relationships, we go to, oh, you know what you need to do? You need to listen to this podcast. Oh, you know what you need to go to therapy. Oh, you just need to work out more. Oh, you just need to tell your boss what's up. You just need, and we start prescribing.
Uh-huh.
And a lot of times what that person needs is empathy and understanding. And if you just say, hey, my instinct right now, my instinct is to tell you all the things to do. I'm sure that's not what you need. Tell me how I can be amazing for you.
I love that. And I love that because that's adulting. Because adulting is not making it about you and actually really stepping out of like, if this was my scenario, this is what I would need. Like, hey, it's not your scenario, it's your friend's scenario, right? So check in with them and get a different perspective, because maybe you'll learn something.
Yeah, I've done that a lot with people who are going through issues where people come to the situations with just hordes of advice. Things like when somebody's going through grief, when they've lost somebody, mm-hmm. like to your point, they want to say, here's what I did when my mom died. And they want to share their grief experience. Or when somebody has a baby, they want to, oh, here's what you need to do. Instead of saying, what can I do for you? How can I be amazing for you? Do you want me to not call you at all? Do you want your space completely? And seriously saying, what are the things I should say? And what are the things I should not say?
So yeah, I'll give you and ask people like, how can I support you? What would make you feel supported? Right. You know, there's lots of language around that. Like, I really love you and I don't know how to love you right now. If you like, what would need to happen in order for you to feel loved? Right. Like there's lots of language that we've got that can help someone, because often we're like, we're just a deer in the headlights in those moments.
That's right.
We're like, I don't know what I need.
You know, I had a situation with my best friend where I thought I was being incredibly supportive. And I've had these happen with my husband as well, where she was going through really something rough. And I said, you've been through really challenging things before. You are the strongest person I know. You are going to totally pull through this. And I'm thinking, yeah, like I'm being really helpful. And so then at one point I said, you know, so tell me if there's anything that's helpful, not helpful, whatever. And she said, you know, it's actually really hard for me when you say you are with the strongest person I know, because it makes me feel like I can't break down or I can't be soft. And I also don't want to be reminded that I've gone through really tough times before. I don't ever want to feel that way. So here's what to say instead. You're going to get through this. You are allowed to break down. And I was like, done. Perfect. I'm on it. But if we didn't have that relationship where we could genuinely ask that of each other and then be receptive, not be offended.
Yeah. And I see us do this in personal relationships, right? We're like romantic relationships. He didn't show up for me how I want him to. Did you tell him how you, like, is he guessing in the dark here? Like, tell people how to love you.
Right.
Tell people what makes you feel seen, what makes you feel heard. Because otherwise they're going to go off what makes them feel seen, what that makes them feel heard, right?
And this notion of, well, he should just know or she should just know is a fucking fallacy. And everyone needs to get the fuck over that right now. Because that, I mean, unless you're with a psychic or a mind reader, which none of us really are, you need to use your words, because that's hashtag adult.
And even then, that's, you know, that's their job, not in a relationship. You don't actually want them in your brain. Amy, we have whizzed through our time together. I adore you. I know that my listeners are going to be so happy that they found you if they didn't know you already. Apart from thejoyjunkie.com, like, where do you hang out? Where can they come find you?
Well, that's definitely my corner of the internet. But as far as social goes, I'm on Insta the most, for sure, as far as interacting. Yeah.
So we'll put all those links in. Will you do an I'm an adult but with me?
Oh my gosh. Yes, I will. Of course. I am an adult, but I don't know if you have these where you are. I'm sure you do. But I still love to get stickers at the grocery store for like 25 cents.
Yeah. They like the little kiddie ones.
Yeah, like a gumball machine.
Oh my gosh. I haven't seen them ever.
They drop out like stickers.
Love it.
What about you?
What have I got today? I just came back from a holiday, and so my favorite, like, I'm an adult, but instead of like having my shit together and going, I know what flavor ice cream I want, I'm the person at the front of the queue that's going, can I try that one? And on a day where I'm feeling particularly personally empowered, I'll eat all the tasters and then be like, yeah, no, I'm done now, I'm full, thanks.
That's awesome.
Yeah, but the grown up in me thinks it's so wrong. The grown up in me is like, you should show up, you should know what you want, and you should order it, and you should pay for it, and you shouldn't eat for free. That's so funny, isn't it?
Yeah, I am that way too. I don't like to be pushed to make a decision that quickly, especially when it comes to dessert. Oh my goodness.
This has been Adulting with Ebony. I have been Ebony. You have been great. Thank you so much for all of your support. Please keep listening, liking, rating, sharing so that more people can come and enjoy and engage with us. Really, thank you. I'll see you next time.